Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Heather Shaw is Kidding. It's me, Heather Shaw. Happy Wednesday. What's going on? I am recording this on Tuesday. Are we still alive? Are we in a nuclear war yet? What's going on? Have you been drafted? A good way to get out of the draft if you're a young 20-year-old pup and you're worried about getting drafted. First of all, I don't think the draft will happen. We're definitely going to war. Don't be confused. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. We're definitely going to war. I don't think there will be a draft. But if there is, just tell them you're trans. And you can't, you would love to die for Israel, but you can't because you're transgendered. They're going to look at you and go, ew, and toss you to the side. They don't like that in the military. Just tell them you're mentally ill, severely mentally ill. You have to watch Twitch streams or you will kill yourself. They'll go, all right, you can't enlist. Who else? Tell them you're trans. You won't have to go to the draft. Spread the word. This is like, I'm like gay Paul Revere. The draft is coming. I sound like a little Edie from Grey Gardens. The draft is coming. You look absolutely terrific. I mean, honestly. I mean, if you get that reference, then you're my friend. Starting off strong, huh? How you doing? Lots is going on in the world. I know. A lot is going on. Not a lot of fun pop culture news. I got to be honest. This may be a little bit world event heavy today. We'll get into some, but it's not all. It's nothing fun, guys. Even the pop culture stuff I'm talking about today, it's not fun. It's about an overdose in prison. It's about somebody who's probably going to overdose and die. And then it's about somebody who has a terrifyingly degenerative neurological disease that's slowly killing them. So buckle up, guys. This episode is a reflection of our current times. How about that? When I'm on here talking about Gypsy Rose, things are looking good. When there's no Rose, the world is not a rose. You know what I'm saying? When there's no Ken, I just imagine Gypsy in her house. Hey, Ken, are we going to war? Oh, shoot. Oh, no. I don't know. Do you think she even cares about the war? You know, I have to find people to get to obsess about online. There's a new character on TikTok that I obsess about. His name is Nova. N-O-V is in Van A. Nova. He's a stay-at-home son. Unemployed to the bone. I love him so much. He's very fun to watch. I hope he never... I don't want him to know I exist because he'll probably block me. He blocks people. So I never want to be blocked. Don't tell anybody I like Nova, but that is a new one. Corinna, she's a good one. I love Corinna. She's fun. Every day she's got a paper cut or something's going on. I love it. Gypsy Rose is old news, guys. Sorry, I moved on to Nova and Corinna. Nikki Blonsky's lives. Those are fun. She's always half in the bag. Hey, it's Nikki Blonsky. She's always just squeezing out a turd while she's on. I don't know what she's doing. She's on drugs or some kind of alcohol, some shitty, old, like Steel Reserve, I imagine. You remember Steel Reserve? If you know about Steel Reserve, congratulations. You're a fucking dirtbag degenerate alcoholic like me. Steel Reserve was like, back in the day when I was in my 20s and was poor as fuck, I would buy a tall boy Steel Reserve. Now this motherfucker, Steel Reserve, Steel, S-T-E-E-L. It was like not even a dollar for a tall boy of this beer. It was malt beer, I think. It was just absolutely disgusting, but it would get you shithoused. I think some people just make beer for homeless people, which is a good thing to do. Make really cheap beer. If you're going to be homeless, at least be drunk. That's my motto. I don't know who produces Steel Reserve. It's certainly not something you order at a bar. I've never, ever heard anybody go, our options are Bud Light, Coors Light, and Steel Reserve. It's a beer that's like designed for homeless people and broke college alcoholics. And that was like, you know, the perfect thing. Shout out to Steel Reserve. Maybe they'll sponsor this podcast. Does anybody know what I'm talking about with Steel Reserve? Is this just me? Send this to your homeless uncle. Get him into this podcast. I think I have the topics are for a new demo. If you like Gypsy Rose, too bad. Now my listeners are all Steel Reserve heads. SRHs, baby. Well, let's get into the house cleaning, what do they call it up top? I got to tell you what's going on. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Rate and review. I'm going to do this really quick, guys. Don't skip ahead. Just stay with me. The body keeps the score. Sorry, that's my new stim. Just walk around. If I stub my toe, I just go, the body keeps the score. I don't know what it means, but I like saying it. Rate and review this podcast. If you want to rate it with a queef or review it with a queef, whatever you do, I love it. Every time I see somebody just say queef, I know that they get me and I understand them. And I know that it's like we're digitally making out, basically, platonically. Like making out with your grandma. So do that. Join the Patreon if you want an extra episode of this podcast every single week. Every single fucking week I'm pumping out an extra episode of this podcast that goes over maybe some shit talking, maybe some personal things. I tell some stories in the last podcast about some things I've heard in green rooms, about some other male comics, some real fucking freaks of nature. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. I think last episode I did spill some tea on some comics, older, you know, comics that I don't really care about. Bonnaroo, talked about Bonnaroo being canceled. Not going to talk about Bonnaroo in this episode, unfortunately. Fortunately for you, if you don't care about Bonnaroo as much as little as I do. Talked about my hate, my disdain for camping. God. I hate camping. I talked all about it in my Patreon episode, but you can also buy single episodes off the Patreon, $5 a pop, baby, or join the Patreon. It starts as little as $3 a month. No matter what tier you join, you get the same access as the other tiers. So it's really just how much you want to sponsor this gay. And get the merch. I'm wearing the merch right now. It looks so good. Go to HeatherShawComedy.com for the merch. I love it so much. I got a t-shirt, this sick-ass hoodie. By the way, good quality. The shirts are Comfort Colors, great brand, great quality. It's a shirt that won't like dissolve in the wash. This is a hoodie that I'm wearing. This is my hoodie, Champion brand, good ass quality. A little pricey, but hoodies are pricey because it's good quality. Fuck off. And then a coffee mug, which is, you know, I think it's like $12. It's great. I have them all because you know, I have to support myself, give myself money. Upcoming shows. Let's see. I'm gonna be in Minneapolis, Minnesota next weekend. Can't wait. Comedy Corner Underground Friday and Saturday night. That's a small venue, so get tickets. That's gonna sell out. And then Sunday night, next Sunday, I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin at the Plus. Can't wait to be there over there in Eau Claire. Later on next month, I'll be in Colorado and other things. I don't have my website pulled up right now. But you know, at the end of the episode, I'll tell you all the cities if you care, but listen, just go to HeatherShawComedy.com. I mean, so many cities throughout this year. But the most recent ones upcoming, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Can't wait to be out there. In the summer, it's going to be beautiful. I know it. Shout out to Royal Oak. If you came out to the Royal Oak shows, the show, Louisville, you guys were beautiful. I love you so much. All right. That's it. That's the announcements. Let's get into the goddamn motherfucking show, bitch. Anytime you hear a pause, it's me drinking water, by the way, because I like to hydrate. The body keeps the score, whore. It's just release smut audio for trauma, for people interested in trauma. That's their smut audio. The body keeps the fucking score, whore. Just have Britney Spears hop on that trauma smut audio.
Holy shit. Girl, the body keeps the fucking score, whore. Whoa.
Okay. We're going to war. We're going to war, guys. How do you feel about it? You excited? I saw this happen before. 9/11 got the country real geared up to go to war. I don't know what they're going to do this time. What are they going to do? Are they going to take out the Mall of America? How are they going to get America into a war between Israel and Iran? Because let's be real, Israel is actually the United States of America. When we say it's Israel v. Iran, it's really Israel and the U.S. v. Iran. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope it's nothing too brutal to the American people. We've been through enough. We don't need another pseudo 9/11 to get everybody on board with the idea of war. Because right now, nobody's on board. You know, nobody wants to go to war. Nobody. Even the most MAGA people are. Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's a fucking cold day in hell when I agree with something Marjorie Taylor Greene is putting out publicly. It is a sad fucking day when I'm nodding along reading a Marjorie Taylor Greene post. That fucking Miss Piggy. Reading her words and going, yeah, slay. Yeah. No, you're right, Queen. Yes. Yes, girl. That's a bad sign of things to come. Marjorie Taylor Greene got up and posted from her fucking piglet little fingers, that this is not what MAGA stands for. We do not go to war. MAGA doesn't like this. We don't like that, you know. She's even saying, whoa, what are we doing? And not that I look to Marjorie Taylor Greene for any guidance or any insight or any enlightenment, but... when she's saying words that I agree with, that's when I get a little like, oh boy, everybody's against the idea of war. I don't think I've really seen anybody truly that is a big talking head in the political landscape that's kind of been like, no, this is great. Let's do this. Let's pull all the taxpayer money. I mean, with this country's in so much debt. What we should do is just take all the taxpayers' dollars and instead of pumping it back into the economy and infrastructure and helping them out with, you know, socialist programs, God forbid we have a socialist program like the fire station or the library. Woo, those are spooky. Instead of that, let's just fund a war so Israel can, I don't know, have the biggest dick in the big dick contest. Let's do that. No one's on board. MAGA is falling off. It's crazy. And it took 6 months, which is honestly, I didn't ever see MAGA people kind of quietly removing their Trump flags from their lawn. Or speaking out against the president going, who's this guy? Who this guy? This guy lied to me. He said no wars under him. The guy who's been a known con man since the 1980s has lied to me? Who could have saw this coming? It's kind of laughable. All these people who have positioned themselves as intelligent people who voted for Trump and he knows what he's doing. And it's really just like, you can no longer claim to be an intelligent human being if you're coming out and being like, well, now I'm not with Trump anymore. I voted for him, but this is crazy. And I'm not talking about like MAGA idiot. You know, there are MAGA people who are just dumb that we know are not smart, and it's not their fault. They didn't have the best education system. They were probably not raised super well off. You know, these things contribute to like soup for brains. No empathy because they were abused their whole life. I understand why some people are MAGA people. They're not smart. The cards were against them. The hands were dealt and the cards were all against them. Like nothing in their life worked in their favor. So of course they're going to be MAGA people. You know what I mean? It's an easy thing, but There are other people. Tucker Carlson, say what you want about him, but he presents himself to be an intelligent person. He knows the system. He's been in the Fox News environment. He knows how things work. He's coming out and going like, this is crazy. Trump is, you know, this is not right. Dave Smith, who's a comedian, commentator, political guy. He gets on Rogan a lot defending Trump. Now he's saying, oh, like, we should impeach Trump now. You can't pretend to be a smart person if you didn't see this coming. If you bought into Trump's second term thinking he was going to do anything productive, you know, you've lost your right to call yourself intelligent in any way, shape, or form. I am not a political analyst. I don't, I'm not an economics nerd. I know very little history. I'm currently reading A People's History of the United States just so I get a fucking real idea of what happened. And even I know that Trump is full of shit and nothing good comes from this man. Everything this man touches turns to shit. He burns every bridge. Elon Musk has already been burned. Pete Hegseth is going to be burned. I don't know why anybody would attach themselves to Trump after seeing his first term, where everybody around him he no longer talks to. Mike Pence, gone. Rudy Giuliani, broke. Rudy Giuliani's scooting around CVS and Walgreens all day, trying to refill his prescription with 14 cents in his pocket. He's got no money. That guy's broke. That guy single-handedly took down the mob in like the 70s and 80s. He invented RICO. And that motherfucker attached himself to the Trump train, and now he's a sad elder, broke elder, wheeling around fucking Aldi looking for the best deal on navel oranges. You know, I mean, everybody that attaches himself to Trump gets fucked. It makes sense why on Trump's second term, everybody that he chose are just like Fox News anchors and like, you know, Linda McMahon, the wife of Vince McMahon, like a wrestling first lady, the first lady of wrestling, you know, like nobody truly competent I don't know the word I'm looking for. See, I'm not very smart, but even I knew that Trump was going to fuck shit up. Even I knew not to trust Trump. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm smart. I can't think of words. Okay. I am not a smart person. I knew that nothing good comes when Trump's in charge, and did not trust him. And that's not just Trump. I mean, especially don't trust Trump. He's a grifter. He's got his sons out there selling Trump mobile phones. This guy will take all the money, which is not much, that his followers have and run off with it. He's got Trump sneakers, Trump crypto, Trump mobile phones. He's telling his coke-addled sons to get out there and sell the fuck out of these Trump mobile phones, which, by the way, are just bought through Alibaba Express. They're just bought overseas, made in China. They just like stamp the T on the back of the phone. You know, it's incredible. The grift never stops grifting. But it is kind of delicious to see all these people be like, wait a minute, what? This isn't what we voted for. Yeah, that's how it works, dummy. First of all, I keep saying it. I'll say it till the day I die, which may be very soon with this nuclear war looming over our head. Don't trust politicians. Stop trusting politicians. Full stop. Boom. Maybe Bernie Sanders gets a pass. You know, maybe Bernie Sanders gets invited to the cookout. But beyond that, don't trust politicians. Come on. But especially not Donald Trump. The guy's been conning people his entire life. What do you mean? Oy, 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 yeah. Trump escalates rhetoric against Iran, calls for unconditional surrender. You know, we'll see, because, I mean, I'm recording this on Tuesday. It changes so much. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, we get into war. Gas, you're going to see gas prices like you've never seen before. They're going to have to do some work to really get the American people on board with this war, because the American people are going to feel it in their wallets. They're going to feel it at the gas pumps. The morale is going to be incredibly low. Trump's approval rating is already in the fucking toilet. And now you have this. It's like this guy is actively trying to get everyone against him. And I don't understand. You know, there was a clip of him saying that he wishes his people, aka the American people, would salute him the way that they do to their dictator in North Korea. He wants his people, he says, the American people, he calls them his people, to do that to him. It's like, dude, you're not even trying to make that happen. Everyone hates you. The military who marched in your pride parade birthday party fucking did it wrong. Malicious compliance, okay? You're not even trying to get people on your side or to fawn over you. You're losing fucking MAGA people. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, because they're in a cult. And even they're like, maybe we should go to Scientology instead. Let's go check out Scientology. This is a little freaky. It's getting a little freaky over here. There's the mouth fart I was looking for. You know, I will say the one thing I do appreciate about Trump is that he's honest in his response. I just saw a clip of a reporter asking him if he was going to call Tim Walz. You know, after the Minnesota, what were those state reps? Who died? It was a House Speaker, a Minnesota House Speaker, and then a senator. The senator survived. The House Speaker obviously passed away from the gunshot, which is awful, terrible. But Trump was asked, hey, are you going to call Tim Walz and kind of offer your condolences? And Trump flat out said, nah, I'm not going to. Why would I do that? Nah, Tim Walz sucks. I don't like that guy. If I call him, it's going to be fake. What I'm going to say, hey, how's your day going? Hope you're, it's a waste of time. Now, people will call that insensitive of Trump, but I'm telling you right now, this is the honest to God thought of any politician who has to make a call to someone across the aisle in times of sadness or in times of grief or in times where they should be offering a hand or just saying, hey, I'm here for you. No politician wants to do this shit. They do it because it looks good and it's what you're supposed to do. But Trump is just saying out loud what all the politicians are saying behind doors. Like, fuck this. Why do I have to call this fucking asshole? I have to call this fucking asshole. You know, I mean, they're all saying that about each other. So I do appreciate that Trump has no filter. It's not great always, but, you know, he's saying what politicians usually say to themselves and each other. He's saying it to you. So just he obviously is an asshole, but that really is the truth of how politicians act. You know, they'll do the fucking call. They'll do it begrudgingly. Hey, Tim. Hey, faggot. I heard. Yeah. Sorry about your fucking losses. You fucking loser. You know, that's what they want to say. Trump won't even make the call. I appreciate his candor. Yeah, the Minnesota killings were, that was scary and brutal. And this is what is this administration breeds is wackadoodles. Friends say Minnesota shooting suspect was. This is going to be shocking to you when I say this headline. Buckle. Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? I'm talking to you. Sit down, strap in. I'm going to tell you something. Friends say Minnesota shooting suspect was deeply religious and conservative. Is that crazy or what? A violent killer loved God and conservatism? No way. What? Crazy. I can't believe it. Yeah, I like that immediately after people were trying to come out and say, what was his name? Vance Bolter. First of all, Vance, what a fucking dork. He had to go around his whole life, he had to be Vance. What a fucking loser. JD Vance, Luther Bolter. I mean, Vance is just a shit. Anybody with a Vance name, dude, you're a fucking loser. Vance. Vance Bolter, 57. I like that after he shot two people dead and in critically injured two other people because of their political affiliations. I like that people are trying to come out and be like, he was Democratic. I'm like, yeah. That, first of all, you know, Democrats, big murderers. You know, those Democrats always talking about guns. God, they love shooting those guns, those Democrats. Democrats can be weak and spineless and don't get anything done. And you know, they watch our country burn and go, oh, darn it. But the one thing Democrats aren't doing are killing people. They're not assassinating people. They're pussies. They're bitches. I'm one. I hate saying I'm a Democrat. I just have liberal ideas. I don't really, you know, I think the Democratic Party is kind of like, you know, they're politicians, number one. Number two, they're bitches. They're weak. You know, they're little bitches. They're little, like, you know, they're twerps. They're just like, you know, they're performative twerps. But yeah, Democrats don't murder people, really. You know, we're not violent. We try to keep the peace because we're too scared to pull the trigger. And also, why would Democrats then go and kill other Democrats in Minnesota? It makes no sense. But this is, you know, the logic of MAGA people. A Democrat totally took their gun that they own, because Democrats love to own guns. They totally took their gun that they own and killed one of them. It's a D-on-D crime. Dem-on-dem crime. Nothing about MAGA here. Yeah, this guy was clearly conservative. To me, I gotta say, as somebody with incredible gaydar, this guy screams gay to me. Vance, when I see a picture of him, I just see a faggot. And I can say that. That's my word. But I see a very disgruntled faggot. And let me know what you think. I mean, my gaydar is impeccable when it comes to men. Because, again, my brother's gay and he's 2 years younger than me. So since the time I was two, I've been able to study what a gay man looks like. And I know they come in all shapes and sizes. But I'm telling you, my male gaydar is unbelievably good. I could almost shoot 100%. 100%. I've never been wrong about the male celebrities that I've pegged. Not pegged. That I've pegged for being gay that later came out gay or have always had gay rumors persist. I'm telling you, I'm very good. Women, I don't have good gaydar with women, sorry. But gay men, ooh, I got you down. I can look at a baby picture and tell you that child's gay. I know that sounds weird. But again, my younger brother, I had 2 years on that motherfucker. From time he was out of the womb and I was 2 years old, I was studying in school. Anyways, Vance Bolter seems like a flaming gay to me. And we don't claim him. Not during Pride Month, not during ever. Bolter's, you know, he's malicious. He was impersonating a police officer. He showed up on their doorsteps and shot them and killed two. And they also had to put down Melissa Hortman, the woman who died. On, you know, God rest her soul. God's not real, but it's a nice thing to say. They had to put down her dog, which made me the most upset, is that they had to euthanize her dog because the dog was so critically injured. I fucking hate this guy. You know, it's very sad when humans die, but when dogs die, that my life should end right there. I hate it. They're so, you know, they did nothing wrong. Humans are messy and gross. Dogs are perfect. That made me sad. They euthanized a dog. Friends and former colleagues interviewed described Bolter as a devout Christian. You know, no, ain't no love like Christian hate. Nope, ain't no hate like Christian love. Either way, it works. He attended evangelical church, faggot, and went to campaign rallies for Donald Trump, faggot. Faggot. Reminds me of that Strangers with Candy scene when she calls Stephen Colbert, the teacher, faggot. She walks away and she goes, faggot. And he goes, what did you say? And she goes, what did you hear? And then he goes, I'd rather not say. I'd rather not repeat it. And she goes, well, I guess we'll never know. I love Amy Sedaris. Shout out, faggot. Records show Bolter registered to vote as a Republican while living in Oklahoma in 2004 before moving to Minnesota, where voters don't list party affiliation. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, this guy's a fucking freak. He was right-leaning politically, but never fanatical. Well, just strong beliefs. Fanatical. Now he's fanatical. He's killing people over it. God, can you imagine killing somebody because of their party affiliation? Right? Person who tried to assassinate Trump. That's crazy. Yeah, he's just a fucking loser who, you know, some people just have nothing going on in their lives. He probably couldn't be out and proud in his life. Couldn't get if he had one man love him back, he probably wouldn't care. Or he hated himself so much he wanted to take it out on, you know, the Liberal Party. And he murdered people. you know? Just a pure loser. I'm glad they caught the guy. I was worried about the manhunt. You know, it's interesting, though. He's going to get, like, murder charges. He's not going to get domestic terrorism charges. Luigi Mangione is going to get domestic terror, or he has received domestic terrorist charges for killing a CEO. But this guy kills, or attempts to kill a senator and kills a House Speaker and gets, murder. Just a good old-fashioned murder. You know, yeah, anytime somebody murders somebody and it's from political reasonings, it's conservatism. I'm sorry. It's just conservatism. Democrats just don't murder people. They don't assassinate. They just kind of bitch and moan and do nothing. I don't know what's worse. Isn't this a fun, light episode, guys? How you doing? All right, should we talk about this last thing and then we'll hop into we'll do some ads after this. I wanted to talk about this. This is so funny. Elon Musk, remember him, by the way? Like, isn't it so funny? Time moves so fast now. News cycles move so fast. I mean, 6 months ago, Elon was Nazi saluting. You know, a week ago, he was tweeting about Trump being a pedophile. And now it's just like, you know, now we're just like, oh, we're too busy, Elon. Go play in the corner by yourself. Go jack off somewhere, dude. Get stuck in a K-hole for a little, okay? The grown-ups got to handle some stuff with the war. Elon Musk is now taking to Twitter to show his a urine test to prove that he's not on drugs. Dude, I don't care what you're dropping as a fucking proof you're on drugs. We've seen the video, motherfucker. We have eyes. Dude, I've seen your eyes rolling in the back of your head trying to grasp an idea of reality. You've been in the Oval Office, like, if you're watching YouTube, you understand, but if you're not, I'm enacting what he looks like in the Oval Office. We've seen him doing the head roll, trying to, it's like he's on a spinny ride and he can't find a focal point to just look at. That's ketamine. That's fucking drugs, brother. We know you're on drugs. You're on drugs, dude. Elon Musk dropped his urinary drug test receipt on X Tuesday, showing he's negative from everything from cocaine and meth to ketamine and weed. His caption was a simple LOL, like it was some ultimate mic drop moment. The drug test has not been independently verified. Yeah, dude, we don't care. And this isn't real. Dude, you most likely rigged the fucking 2024 election. You don't think you could rig a fucking drug test? You know what I'm saying? You fucking made Starlink. I gotta say, side note, shout out to Starlink. It's great. I've used Starlink. It's good. It is very good. I've talked to people who use Starlink when they're on like ships. I went out to my friend's family has like land out in Pennsylvania and there's no Wi-Fi service and they use Starlink and it works fantastic. You created Starlink, brother. You could absolutely fabricate a drug test result. Like, what are we doing? Nobody believes this is real. I could do this and I've invented nothing. I could go into, it is so easy to create invoices online, but with everything we have now at our fingertips, at our disposal, you can fake any document, brother. What are you doing? No one believes you. No one gives a shit. What do you want us to do now? Oh, you're not on ketamine, so you're just a fucking weird man? Explain everything then. Why do you look like that? Why are you rolling your eyes so much? Are you a robot? Can you show us the results from Are You a Robot test? That we care more about that. No one believes that this is a negative drug test. No one believes this is a real, these are real results from a real drug test. No one even cares. We are going to war, brother. We're going to war, motherfucker. Also, you're on drugs. Sorry, we have eyeballs. That's, you know, like, this is insane. The man who invented Starlink, can't figure out how to doctor drug test results? The man who essentially rigged the election. Let's just call it what it is. That was a rigged election, most likely. I'm not sitting here being like, recount the vote, recount, recount. But we got to be logical about it. You have Trump being up there being like, Ilani knows computers. He knows computers very well. During the election, he knew computer stuff. Ooh, it was good. It was great. And then you have Elon tweeting out a week ago, if it wasn't for me, you know, Kamala would be in office. You know, like shit like that. Like, let's use our fucking brains. Again, I'm not smart and I know this shit. It's just very funny that he cares so much about what people think. If I had an ounce of the amount of money this man has, I don't give a fuck what people think now. If I had his wealth, you couldn't catch me giving a fuck ever. You wouldn't see me. You wouldn't hear me. Girl, I wouldn't care what you thought. You could call me ugly every day. I would say, okay, and I wipe my ass with $1 million. Like, what do you mean I'm ugly? Brokey? Like, that's crazy. This guy craves your validation and gives a shit what you think. You, me, he gives a shit. He's posting his drug test. Dude, it is wild that money cannot buy self-esteem. It just can't. Money cannot buy self-esteem. I don't believe that money can't buy happiness. I think money buys happiness. I got to say it. Money buys happiness because happiness comes from stability, right? So it's like, you know, money buys stability, which buys happiness. That's my theory. But dude, money cannot buy self-esteem. Money cannot buy a healthy amount of self-esteem. This guy, he seeks your validation so badly. He's like, no, I'm not on drugs. See, we don't give a fuck. We're not in school and I'm not the principal, bitch. I don't care. You're evil. Go away. Go, I don't know. Go invent something again. / just buy a company and slap your name on it and call it inventing. I don't know. It's weird. No one cares. I don't know what he's trying to prove. This all comes hot on the heels of the New York Times bombshell a few weeks back, accusing Elon of being deep into ketamine and acting erratically on everything from ecstasy to Adderall. We know this. We have eyes. This isn't like some crazy report where we're going to be like, what? Elon was on drugs this whole time? We know. It's crazy, dude. What timeline are we living in? Get me the fuck out of here. What is this? Were people in the 70s looking at their fucking stories and headlines all day being like, what? This is crazy. I wish we could go back to the 40s. What the fuck? Is this just what life is? Just crazy shit happening nonstop? Because I'm always thinking, like, people are like, you know, millennials have that idea of like, man, ever since 9/11, we couldn't catch a break. It was 9/11, then it was the recession, and then it was the job market. Now it's housing market. Now, you know, barely have healthcare. Now you can't have a family. And now it's like, you know, now our rights are being taken away again. And now here we go, another war, World War III. Great. When do we catch a break? It's like ChatGPT is taking away our life. And we're stuck on TikTok and we're stuck in the algorithm. And now it's like everybody wants to be a content creator, OF, or nobody wants to be a doctor. And it just... Millennials feel cursed, but I'm like, does every generation feel cursed? Is every generation looking like when Vietnam happened? I'm sure that generation was like, the baby boomers were like, we can't catch a fucking break. Now we're going to war. I wonder if it's just part of life, or is there really a millennial curse? It's crazy. I don't know. I'm not tired from the headlines. It's just like, okay. You know, it's like the bully who took your lunch money and then is like, and now also give me your underwear. Like they're running out of ways to bully you. You're like, sure, I guess. What else do you want? I mean, you want to cut off my finger, I guess. I'm desensitized at this point. You could take whatever you want. I don't have a will to live. Just take it all. Why don't you just end it? Where are the aliens? Guys, I'm not suicidal depressed. I'm just saying this is the psyche of millennials and even Gen Z now, and people that have to grow up in this world now or be adults or young adults. It's like, where is the hope? If we're going to lose all hope, can we at least go back to calling things gay? I miss those days. Why can't we say the R word? I think we've had enough progress. Can we go back a little? Can I call my neighbor gay when he wears pastel shorts without getting canceled? Can I call him the R word for dumb again? I miss that. I mean, we're going to war. Does it matter? Can I use the R word again or not? I've had enough progress. But good for Elon for having a false drug test. I mean, fucking GameStop employees know how to make a fucking false drug test, motherfucker. Do you think you're special? Obviously, he doesn't live in this world, but like, I know people who fucking buy pee and then warm it up and fit it in their gooch and then pull it out and put it in the cup. Like, we know how to, everybody can fake a drug test, bitch. You are not special. The employees at fucking Long John Silver have been doing it for years, Elon. Get in line. You are not remarkable for this. Sorry, that was my rant. Let's get into ads. You know them, you love them. It's Lucy Brown, baby. Lucy Brown Coffee. We love them so much. Small, queer-owned business in Lexington, Kentucky. And it's if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, go visit this coffee shop. It's a beautiful coffee shop. I love them so much. Great coffee by day, cocktails at night. It's a hot fucking gay place to hang. Shout out to Sarah Brown, the owner over there at Lucy Brown. They are doing things the right way. They've been open for almost a decade, guys. Almost a decade. Small business being open for more than 5 years. I mean, that deserves an award right there. It's a testament to how good their coffee is and how good their coffee subscription is. You got to get their coffee subscription every single month. With this coffee subscription starting at just $20 a month, every single month you get a new fresh bag of coffee, whether you like to ground up already or whole beans, gets to your door. And it's whatever you prefer, light roast, dark roast, medium roast, whatever you like shows up at your front door like a lost kitten, except it's delicious coffee that you keep. Get the coffee subscription. It is, it's the best. You don't have to go to the store and buy coffee anymore. The coffee at the store, the selection sucks ass. Who is Mr. Pete? I don't trust him. I don't like how he spells his last name. I don't trust him. I don't trust his Starbucks coffee that's been mass produced in some fucking Seattle hot ass warehouse. No thanks. Get the Lucy Brown Coffee subscription service. All you got to do is fill out the form on their website and get coffee beans sent straight to you every single month. Again, all starting at just $20 a month. Just visit lucybrowncoffee.com. That's L-U-S-S-I, browncoffee.com. And follow the coffee subscription button to get signed up today. And if you use the code Heather Shaw is kidding, you'll get 10% off your first order. So what are you doing? Go get the coffee subscription. It's good ass coffee. I've had it for more than a year and I'm never going to stop having it. Thank you, Lucy Brown, for being a sponsor of this show. We love you so much. And if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, stop by Lucy Brown Coffee downtown. It is a great, cute, hot, queer spot.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
All right, this is where I'm going to sip my water. That's some good water. Sorry, excuse me. I've been talking. This is what happens when I talk. All right, P. Diddy trial updates. You know, I've been following it loosely and closely. Loosely and closely. You know, I've been squinting at it. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. It's super. Did you hear that growl? That was me burping. It's super like you know, it's not going to be like, there's nothing crazy that's happening. There was a juror that was asked to leave the jury, I think, for lying about where he lived or whatever. And he was a black jury, a black dude. And now Diddy, so this juror was lying about where he was living. And I guess you can't, I don't know the rules. I'm assuming, hey, you can't lie when you're a juror, right? You can't say, I think he said he lived in Queens, but he was going to New Jersey and whatever, something like that. And now he's a black man that was on the jury. Now P. Diddy's team is probably going to say, hey, this should be a mistrial because you're sending home a black man who would have probably found me innocent. You know, they're going to play that card where it's like, well, how do you know this guy, a black man? You're going to take away a black man? Sounds like you're scared of what he would vote, what his verdict would be. It sounds like you're trying to manipulate the jury, which is bullshit, right? But it is a tactic that the defense can use to be like, no, this is manipulation. This, you don't know that guy. You probably heard that that guy was thinking we were innocent the whole time. And then you were like, oh, let's find a reason to dismiss him. That's bullshit, you know? So buckle up for whatever happens. There may be a mistrial, but at the end of it, they may appeal whatever verdict they get, most likely guilty. They may appeal and say, hey, what happened with that juror you sent home halfway through the trial? That's bullshit. So great. Can't wait. Sorry about that mouth fart. Hope you weren't trying to bang somebody right now. That would really make you dry, huh? God, can you imagine having sex this podcast? You must be a fucking freak. Don't do it.
The body keeps the score, whore.
That's what I'm going to start saying when I come.
The body keeps the score.
The jurors were shown apparent freak-off videos from 2012 to 2014. That's the latest thing that's happened during this trial. Now, here's what I found funny. Okay, I was just kind of skimming this article from USA Today. Can't believe that's still around. I should just change the name to Israel Today. Jurors shown apparent freak-off videos from 2012 to 2014. Before lunch, jurors were shown roughly 20 minutes of what appeared to be video footage of freak-off videos. Hey, why did you show that to them before lunch? That's real fucked up. What do you mean you showed them 20 minutes of rape before lunch? 20 minutes of baby oil and rape? You said, hey, before you break for that egg salad sandwich I know you've been pining after since 9 a.m., let's watch 20 minutes of rape. And then you can go and try to stomach that potato salad and that buffalo chicken wrap you've got going on. That is insane to me. That is, hey, I don't want you to have an appetite the rest of the day. Watch P. Diddy stick a cucumber into this woman's asshole, okay? It's 20 minutes long, all right? And then we're going to go eat, all right? All right. That's so funny to me. They couldn't wait till afternoon. They couldn't say, let's keep this for the 2 p.m. showing. The freak-off should be in the afternoon. If you're going to show freak-offs, don't show it in the morning, monsters. That is rude. I would not be able to eat. The videos were shown in 3 to 4 minute increments. Jurors were all wearing earphones and the monitors that had been used during testimony were cut off to the courtroom gallery. So nobody but the jury could watch it, essentially. At one point, nobody but the jury who was about to go to lunch could watch it, essentially. At one point, the courtroom gallery could hear the faint sound of heavy breathing, and the judge reminded jurors to make sure that their headphones were fully on because the mic feed appeared to be picking up the video. Jesus fucking Christ. Dude. I would hate to be a juror on this fucking during this trial. This is like having to watch a fucking smut. Not smut. What's that fucking shit called? God damn it. What's that film called? Is it smut? Is it a smut film? Isn't smut just dirty? Snuff. I'm talking about snuff. A snuff film, which is a film that actually depicts an actual murder for the entertainment of the audience. I've never ever sought out a snuff film. I don't know if they're real. I'm sure they are because this world is fucked up. But dude, imagine having to like watch a snuff film, an actual murder, and you're on the jury. Fuck that, dude. That's incredibly traumatizing. To just watch like sexual assault. That's a freak off. Can we just call it rape? Like why are we doing this whole like let's watch his freak offs? Throughout the roughly 20 minutes of videos, special special agent and angel, I'm sure. Delicia Penland looked uncomfortable in the stand and at one point appeared to close her eyes and wince. God damn. Dude, I just don't. No part of me wants to see any of this shit. It's like when people willingly get on the dark web and search for, it's like I've seen TikToks where of course white dudes with patchy beards are like, I joined the dark web because I was just curious. You're a fucking freak. What do you mean you're curious? Anything you find on there is gonna be traumatizing. Jason, what? I got on the dark web and turns out there's a lot of child porn. You don't say, motherfucker. Anybody who's like willingly getting on the dark web, ew, that's a monster. That's weird. You have a weird, no. You would drown kittens if given the chance. That's what I'm assuming. When the special agent returned to the stand, Penland went over details of the evidence from the alleged freak-offs in New York and L.A. between Combs, Cassie Ventura, and others. For example, Penland, a special agent, provided three Amex statements for as much as $1 million from Combs. The documents included a $4,000 a day hotel suite, $47,000 in damages to the penthouse. What does this have to do with anything? Multiple witnesses alleged that Combs held freak-offs or elaborate sexual performances that involved male escorts at the hotel. Damages were often extensive from the use of baby oil, candle wax, and more. Yeah, so this is why I tiptoe around this trial. You know, I don't want to know too much. I get it. I fucking get it. If you need any more proof of how horrible P. Diddy is, look at Justin Bieber. All right? Justin Bieber only started spiraling once Diddy got arrested. All right? All the horrible shit that Diddy did to him, it's all coming up for Bieber, and it's clearly obvious. The timeline tracks. Diddy gets arrested, Bieber starts spiraling. Okay? If Bieber dies, this is on Diddy. I know what everything he's done is horrific. It's just very funny that they made the jury watch this for 20 minutes before they were like, all right, go eat that chicken Caesar salad, you little freaks. All right, we got to talk about Justin because I feel like we're just going to keep tracking Justin here. Not like that I'm gleefully watching his demise. I'm not. I want him to get better. But it is part of pop culture. This is a massive, artist. And we're seeing him kind of in a hard time publicly, mind you. His Father's Day message, we're just kind of going to keep updated with him because I truly hope Justin Bieber gets help and gets healthy and comes out of this, on the other side, a healthy, happy man. He deserves happiness. He deserves, peace. He deserves contentedness. You know, he treats Hailey Bieber pretty shitty, but she's kind of a freak. She seems like she was his stalker. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know. He may not be the best partner right now or ever, but that doesn't mean he's a bad man. And, you know, he's had shit happen to him. So I truly do want him to be healthy and to come out of this alive, at least, please, dear God. I'm sure he's a bit douchey, but look, any kid who's been a millionaire since they were 18 years old has never heard the word no. They're not going to be a good person, like an upstanding, you know, it's just not, doesn't happen. But I certainly don't want to see him die. But he is probably a bit douchey. His Father's Day post was a bit douchey, but he's an active addiction. Like, you can't really judge him right now. He's an active addiction. He's like, you know, anybody you'd meet at a methadone clinic. It's not great. But he posted a picture of himself looking really awful. Really high, really bad, really gaunt. You know, gaunt is the number one sign that you're a drug addict. Face sunken in. And he uploaded a picture and he said, I'm a dad that's not to be fucked with. Now, to me, it looks like he steals your catalytic converters. I'm sure he's not a tough guy. He probably weighs 110. He's gaunt as fuck. He's scrawny as fuck. He's a Canadian already. You're not hard. You know what I mean? God, can you imagine like a Canadian mobster, you know, just asking if they can steal from you? Can I take that, A? I have to murder you. I'm so sorry, A. On Mother's Day, Justin Bieber, posted something and said, What did he say on Mother's Day? So they're like new parents, and on Mother's Day he said something like, I hate Mother's Day, or Mother's Day sucks ass. And then on Father's Day, Haley just posted Father's Day sucks ass. So I don't know what the fuck is going on. Everybody, you know, they are clearly not happy with each other. God, they look so bad. He looks so bad, dude. It's unreal. It's fucking crazy. So they're just going back and forth saying, you know, this day sucks and that day sucks and great. It's really not that exciting. I just can't imagine him being a really great father right now because he's a little distracted, you know, with the trauma and the drugs and the depression. And he posted on Instagram to his story. He said, "People keep telling me to heal. Don't you think if I could have fixed myself, I would have already?" This is actually great spelling. I'm proud of him. He goes on, "I know I'm broken. I know I have anger issues. I tried to do the work my whole life to be like the people who told me I needed to be fixed like them." Well, that made no sense. "And it just keeps making me more tired and more angry." Understandable. "The harder I try to grow, the more focused," two S's, that's not good spelling, but you know what? He's on drugs right now, so it's actually, this is, he's smart. He's spelling this all really well on drugs. Like, it's not trashy and you know, it's good. "The more focused on myself I am, the harder I try to grow, the more focused on myself I am. Here we go. Jesus is the only person who keeps me wanting to make my life about others. Because shouldn't that be your son? I mean, shouldn't your son make you want to do that? Forget it. You know, and now I call him smart and he believes in God. You know, that's kind of a conundrum. "Because honestly, I'm exhausted with thinking about myself lately, aren't you?" Yeah, Justin, we are, but we're concerned. So he's trauma dumping on Instagram stories, probably high. He's spelling great, still believing in God. Great. I mean, I don't know how you can get raped by P. Diddy and be like, "But God is great." Anyways, I'm sorry. He says, "I know I'm broken. I know I have anger issues. People keep telling me to heal." Just go to fucking rehab, please. Just go to rehab. You can get a nice ass Malibu rehab, private. Somebody will build you a rehab and install counselors and install fake meetings for you. You can have horses on the beach. You can get the nicest, comfiest rehab. Just please go to rehab and get into therapy, Justin. It's not your fault what happened to you, but you have to heal from it. You're going to overdose and die. Go get help. The way to heal is to get into intense therapy and to go to rehab. Get withdrawn off of those awful opiates you're on in a medical environment that is safe, that will allow you to detox safely and without too much pain, I hope. But you gotta fucking detox, clean up, and get into fucking therapy. Stop taking it out on us. He's not really taking it out on us. It's like, dude, we can't do anything for you. Do this for yourself and your son. Haley, you don't seem to like Haley that much, so don't think about her or else you're probably going to relapse. But do this for your son and you, buddy. You deserve happiness. And I'm sorry for the things that happened to you. And you probably are a douchebag, but I would be too if I was rich by the time I was legally able to vote. And I've never heard no, ever, ever. It's surprising. It's surprising he's still alive. No one tells that man no. No one. Good luck, Bieber. We're rooting for you, man. And Father's Day does, I mean, it shouldn't suck as a new dad, but, you know, if you're having to deal with withdrawals and, you know, whatever, I guess it would suck. All right, I think that's it for this episode. R. Kelly, by the way, is claiming that, R. Kelly claims that he was forcefully OD'd. He was fed too much medication, too many of his pills in prison, and they were trying to kill him. Like, he's Black Epstein, which he kind of is. But I feel like they would just know how to successfully kill him. Like, they wouldn't give him pills that wouldn't do the job. You know, if they're going to make him OD, they're just going to give him a shit ton and he'll go to sleep. He'll go night-night. So I think this is a tactic for him to be like, "They're trying to kill me in prison. I should be on house arrest." I think that's his tactic. which is really clever, I guess. But, you know, I don't think anybody's trying to kill R. Kelly. I think he's in prison, and that's good enough for his victims. And prison guards certainly are like, what do they give a shit? You know, he probably just saved up his meds that he was supposed to be taking and took a little bit more than usual and had to be rushed to the hospital and claimed that somebody's trying to kill him and that he should be on house arrest instead. Just in case you cared about where R. Kelly is, I know you were clamoring for that R. Kelly news. All right, join the Patreon. That's our episode. Thank you so much for listening. This is a wild ride. Sorry it was so dark, but this is the current state of the world. What do you want me to do? Go to Lucy Brown Coffee, get you a coffee subscription. That'll make your life get a little bit better, a little bit brighter. It'll save you a trip to the store to get coffee. Join my Patreon, patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. Get an extra episode of this podcast every single week. It's a good one, guys. It's a good community over there. There's a chat. Get my merch at heathershawcomedy.com. Good quality merch, okay? I promise that. And come see me. You're not going to regret it. These are very fun shows. Let me tell you the upcoming shows again. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota next weekend, along with Eau Claire, Wisconsin. In July, I'm in Denver, Colorado, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Spokane, Washington, Salt Lake City, Utah, Raleigh, North Carolina. In August, I'm in Austin, Texas, and Batavia, Illinois, along with Sacramento, California, and Los Angeles, California. I'm coming back and doing the Comedy Store. Let's go, bitch. In September, I'm in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, Arlington, Virginia. In October, I'm in Eugene, Oregon, Seattle, Washington for 4 shows, Boca Raton, Florida for 2 shows, Omaha, Nebraska, Des Moines, Iowa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas City, Missouri. Busy October, dear God. In November, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Massillon, Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Chicago, Illinois, Dallas, Texas, Richmond, Virginia, and Portland, Maine. Get tickets at heathershawcomedy.com. It's a great, fun, unhinged show, much like this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Stay gay forever, huh? Fuck people named Vance. What a dorky name. All right, see ya.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.